This is a quote from Albert Einstein. Education is not the learning of facts, but the training of the mind to think. Wow. What a powerful thought. Now you say, oh, yeah, that's right. Education is not the learning of facts, but the training of the mind to think. Okay, yeah, that's great. We pay lip service to that, and we pretend that in education, that's what we do. We pretend when we watch TV like the news, when we read the paper, we're being educated about the world around us. But we don't think. We do not think. We really don't. And I'm not sure it's just because we're lazy as much, and maybe some of that is true. I know people that literally go through their life and they never think. They don't think about anything. They think they think, but they don't think. They regurgitate facts that they heard somewhere. That's all. But they never stop to think or hear the other side or really contemplate even their side. Why? And when I think that, it's not to put down all of society. We just kind of sort of all know that. And the reason I say that is the context of today is think about what you input, right? That's my constant theory. The inputs matter. Here's what's going on our lives, right? Every single day, and this is the Wall Street Journal, far, far and away, well, to my knowledge, the only paper you could read. I don't know any other paper you could read. Everything else is biased. That I know of, I maybe there is something out there that's not biased, but as far as newspapers, but the Journal doesn't appear to be. It doesn't matter if you're on the left or on the right. If you have a message to get out, they are more than happy to print it. If it's good editorial, they'll print it. Their editorial board seems to be just as messaged for Trump bashing as it is to say, hey, the Dems are off the rails here. So I'm just going to give them a hat tip to say it's the best newspaper by far. But here is just one page. And this is every day, this one page. Every single day. And I don't mean this page, but you could just go to the front page. You can go to the second page, the fifth page, whatever. This is just one page from last Wednesday. U.S. earnings flash a warning, a worrying sign. That's the lead on this, you know, the top, what do you call it, top of the fold. We then have Apple investors should dial back their zeal. That's the next article. Domino's growth story gets stale. And maybe that one's true. Increased lending won't rescue banks. Those are the four stories on one page. There are no other stories. Every single one of these articles is negative. And it's fine to say Domino's. Yeah, they had a bad earnings announcement. Totally appropriate. Investors should dial back their zeal. I think there's probably been at least 100 articles like that somewhere in the Journal over the last 10 years as the stock has gone up tenfold. At least 100 of them. And again, that's not even a put down to the Journal. I'm sure they've had a couple of stories in there that were positive. But what do you think it does when you are doing your education on your finances and you're actually reading the Wall Street Journal? It's all negative all the time. This is, by the way, their herd on the street commentary, which is always negative all the time, by the way. It is horrifying. And I'm not kidding. This goes back 40 years. I don't think the columnist before this columnist ever said something positive. I mean, literally. As the Dow went from 800 to, 26,000. Can't happen. Shouldn't happen. Earnings dying. Blah, blah, blah. Just goes on and on. On and on. So when we think we're getting educated, we have to really be thinking, are we thinking? Because here's the bottom line. It's never been better. Period. It's never been better. And I know you heard me rail about that last week. But it's never been better. Period. The thing is when we do say things like, it's never been better, everything's a comma but. And then we fill in the blank with all of the problems, so it overwhelms the fact that it's never been better. This is the way we discuss things. It's never been better, but women are underpaid. There's a glass ceiling. Blacks aren't doing as well. There's a guy in Alabama that really isn't doing very good at all. Children over here, mental illness over there, homeless over here, whatever it is, and you're overwhelmed, it just isn't better, is it? Even though you just actually said the fact of it being better, you've now discounted it, taken it away, made it null and void, clearly, by overwhelming us with insignificant bullet points that do not prove, they in fact point to disprove, the very fact that you stated, as dishonest as you can be. We have to think, if it's better than it's ever been, period. It doesn't say that we can't improve. It doesn't say that there aren't things to do. It doesn't say that there isn't something to fight for to have it be even better in the future. All it says is I understand the world I live in, and I'm blessed to be here during the greatest, most abundant time man has been on the planet. Period. Now go fight the good fight. But when we don't stop and truly acknowledge it's never been better, period, what do you think people do? Do they invest? No. They do not. Do they start businesses? Not like they should. There are a few people out there that are, in fact, thinking. Not just rote robots of facts, of data points that don't have any meaning at all, but were educated. But thinkers that look around and go, look, this is unbelievable, the opportunities out here. I can't believe if I was 21, what it would be like. Not, I can't find a job. I don't know what to do. I need something to cuddle. I don't know what to do. Somebody offended me today. Nonsense. It's never been better, period. Now, when we go and carry that forward, it makes it easy to stay invested, doesn't it? I mean, it really does. It makes it easy to actually go have fun in life and go hang with your grandkids. Go hang with your friends. And not sit and pound negative BS into your head that makes you feel like it's never been worse. How's it possible in this day and age of unbelievable abundance that we do feel depressed? I don't know. I feel it sometimes too. It's kind of like the more we have, the more depressed we are. But we're striving to have more. We want to win the lottery, but when we do, the people are so depressed. They don't know how to handle it, deal with it. Makes sense. Just kind of like drop a few million on somebody that's never had that. Well, give me that problem. I can hear everybody. I'd like to have that problem. No, you wouldn't. Be careful what we wish for. Be careful what we pray for. I know you and I are above all of that. It's just those, all those people you see on TV that aren't above that. It's a tricky thing. But when we come to the point where we recognize, if we can, that things are pretty darn good, it really helps when it comes to investing, because I'm going to tell you this. The Association of American Association of Independent Investors or something, Individual Investors, AAII, okay, does a survey every single week. I mean, it's been this almost perfect contrary indicator. When people are bullish, get out. When people are bearish, get in. It's been almost perfect over the years. And I don't mean like if it changes a little bit week to week, like some, you know, some people will do with a earnings report, or they'll do that with, you know, an earnings season, or the, oh my gosh, look what happened with the employment numbers. That's it. It's all over. We had a bad number in July, you know, and everybody wanted to run for the hills. It's crazy. That's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about the overall, but we just overall hit the lowest level of bullish sentiment. The lowest level of bullish sentiment since last December, when the market had fallen 20%. When things were really looking rough. We only have 1/5 of the people are bullish. That's insane. You see, you wouldn't feel that way if you simply understood this simple fact. It's never been better. Now, you don't have to be a raging bull, but the idea that 4 out of 5 people are neutral, or and twice the number are bearish, is incredible. Absolutely incredible. Like, there's a lot of other options out there. There's $17 trillion in negative interest rates. Huh? Please, please, please take my money. I'll pay you extra if you take my money away. It's weird. $17 trillion is a lot. We want to go there? I don't think so. It's incredible how negative we are, and then we lose perspective. We totally lose perspective. It keeps us out. It's real. It's really a problem. It's not just that you're going to feel better, and you will. It's not just that your life will radiate out in better ways. It will. You will not be the bore that it annihilates people with crappy facts at the cocktail party. You're going to be that guy that's attractive because, or gal, because they are. Because they don't see the world as ending tomorrow. But most importantly, and the only reason you're really listening to this program, is, in fact, it'll keep you invested when we understand and see the world around us, when we're not feeling like we have to run around in circles. What if you were to react, like I said, or talked about those articles? Every time there's a negative article on Apple, you're out. You're out. You're out. You're out. You're out. Guess what you don't get? You don't get the tenfold increase. Or all the Google isn't going to make any money. The Facebook isn't going to make any money. All those times. Microsoft is going out of business. Gee, I think they're one-to-one with Apple for the greatest valuation. But instead, you trade it every time somebody felt really crappy about it. Would you own any stocks? No, number one. Number two, you would never have the tenfold increase. You'd be like, yeah, I made $2 a share. Boom, yeah. Okay, that's great. But making a couple of bucks doesn't make up for the times when we're, guess what? Wrong. Wrong, 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 wrong. And you've got that piece of paper that's pretty much worthless. Anyway, Jim, I know you've been hanging on. I appreciate it. I just wanted to finish those thoughts, okay? We'll talk some more about this. Remember this, and we got to take a quick break here, and then, Jim, you're going to be up to bat. Our number is 580-5436-580-KIDO. Let me leave you once again. Education is not the learning of facts, but the training of the mind to think. Albert Einstein, we have to think, not regurgitate facts. It's important for everything in our life. It's critical for investing. We got to take a quick break. We'll be right back. Hello, welcome, and once again, thank you so much for joining us. If you want to catch any of these broadcasts, podcasts, we also have calculators and articles. Those are over at petsofinancial.com. Or, of course, you can set it up to automatically download on your Apple App Store. What is it? App Store? No, podcast. 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 That's it. That's it. Anyway, let's go ahead and go to the phones. Jim, thank you for holding.
Morning, Dave.
Good morning, sir.
Yeah, the subject of thinking leads to the perfect, that perfect expression, think outside the box. And probably Einstein did that, don't groupthink. But now on to our favorite subject, technology. Now, doesn't technology kind of teach us not to think? In other words, we think enough to know which keys on the keyboard to push, but do we really think because we have computers to do that for us?
I think that obviously it can be a tool or it can be a crutch, okay? So I would agree that I think that there's an awful lot of that. It depends on what we do. Back to education is not the learning of facts, right? So if I know facts about which star is has a baby, who's sleeping with who did a really cool movie, and who hates Trump. I all that stuff is what I can actually get facts about. I'm not sure that there's any educational value in any of that, right?
Hey.
Okay,
yeah.
So that's all available. But at the same time, you know what's available also?
What?
You know, I've been thinking about this. I wonder why. Like this, here's something actually I have been meaning to Google. So if you have this answer, please call it in, okay? I heard, and I want to know this, that the trees turn because of lack of sunlight, not because it gets cold. That the amount of sun in the day tells them it's time to go night-night for the winter, not the temperatures. And I thought it was the other way around. So I've been wanting to Google that. To me, that actually can be part of my education and wonder of the world that I'm living in. It may be a data point to some people, but to me, it causes me to just wonder even more about God and the universe and why and how and all those things, right? I mean, to me, it just connects me to the world I live in to get those facts on the same device that I can have pornography delivered to me. So it's, to me, it's great or it's a crutch. It's a tool, it's a crutch. And I think we're of the perfect age to where we grew up in a world where we didn't have that kind of technology. We had to learn to think. We had a little bit of common sense in life. And so now for people our age, if you will, 50 plus, that's, to me, is a wonderful tool. For the people under 50, it's going to be a battle, a struggle. It doesn't mean it's a crutch. It means they have to work at it harder because they grew up with it.
Well, you know, I'll tell you, I learned something before computers. You said, for one thing, it's who's sleeping with whom, not with who.
Okay.
I learned that a long time ago.
Yeah.
And something like... Columbus discovered the New World in 1492. That's totally irrelevant, but it's knowledge. But that's the thing these days. I mean, people don't know a damn thing unless they Google it.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, and you know, okay. There's on another station. I must admit, there's a.
Other station but this station.
Well, no, but there's a question they ask every day. You know, this impossible question thing. You know. And you just know that nobody knows any of these answers. They're Googling it.
Sure.
And the same thing with kids in school. You know, how do you keep them from what we used to call cheating? You know, they just Google the answer and that's that.
Right. No, I agree. It is. And also, if you don't have something to relate to, okay, then it isn't really an education, right? It's not. You have to relate it to something else before it really becomes even knowledge in your life. It's a data point, just floats around out there. Why is the sky blue? If you don't put that in the context of the world and the understanding of the atmosphere and how we breathe and how miraculous it is that it's exactly the right content of everything, right? And that the trees actually, they breathe my waste and I breathe their waste. It's like this unbelievable symbiotic relationship. It's incredible. And otherwise, it's just a data point of why the sky is blue. I think that it can be both by having that tool in your hands and then integrate it into what you know.
But a lot of that, yeah, just so long as a lot of these things that people get, maybe they even get from Google, just so long as it stays in their brain so that they know it, so that they don't immediately forget it and then have to Google it again the next time, you know?
Which is why you have to integrate it. I think I'm not unique in this. If you don't, it's like our parents made us look things up, because if they gave us the fact, we wouldn't retain it. But if we looked it up, we retained it. And I think that's the same type of thing. There has to be a if you will, a relation to something else, or it's just a memorized fact. It's a data point that really has no context. With context, we remember and we grow in our knowledge.
But, you know, too, and I think just about everybody would agree that people are more ignorant today than ever, you know. They get on the Internet, and they believe all the crap that they're fed. Now, you know, now that's not a good thing.
No, sir, it's not. It's a terrible thing. On top of it, it's not. We've all seen these, and it is very sad to see college kids say on spring break, ask how many Supreme Court justices are there.
Yeah.
And they can't answer that question. They're in college, for gosh sakes, you know? Who's the vice president of the United States? They don't know, but they know the world is ending, and there's climate change, and you have got to be a liberal. That's what they know, and that's all they know, and that's frightening. There is no thought.
It's interesting. Years ago, I got into an argument with my cousin who had a master's degree, right? And the argument was, for instance, that she took the position that for somebody in New York, it wasn't relative to know how many states were in the United States. What was relative to know was what a subway stop to get off at which to get off. But
yeah.
Anyway.
Well, that's a pretty small thought thinking of the world, for sure.
I know, but I thought it was interesting to get into a discussion with an educated person on something like education is not that important, you know, but anyway.
Yeah, that's interesting.
I'm just glad I was born at a time where, you know, I came along before computers and all this, so I have a bit of a grounding in education, let's call it.
There, exactly. Well, I'm glad you were born too, Jim. You have a good day.
I was hatched, but anyway.
All right, take care. Thanks
take
a lot.
Take care, bye-bye.
Bye-bye. And our number is 580-5436-580-KIDO, dave@petsofinancial.net. Hey, we got to take a break for Fox News, and we'll be right back. Hello, welcome, and thank you for joining us. 580-5436-580-KIDO. Hey, a great website we came across, and, you know, I've said openly I want to do something for the education of folks in high school, right? Something to drive forward a financial capitalist, the eighth wonder of the world is compound interest. Invest. Don't be silly. What are the markets really about, right? Kind of a deal. And get that out and make it available to teach. So kids come out of high school with some knowledge of what it means to try to run your own financial life. And I think it's so critically important. I think this is why part of why we're losing the battle in education to the people, the socialists, if you will. Oh, I'm not a socialist. Okay, fine, whatever. But if you believe in big government solutions, to a degree, you are. And it may sound very libertarian, if you will, but I just want to take care of myself. And I want to leave you alone to take care of yourself. And you govern your life. And I just don't think we need a whole lot of intermediaries to make sure that you don't mess up. And we can think a little bit better. So, and those that don't mess up, we want to take more of what they have to give it to the people that, well, they messed up. And that's fine, too. We don't want anybody to starve to death. That's not the point. But it certainly is not the point that government can fix things. And so I think it's really important we get this education situation where people feel like they certainly can easily become financially independent, wealthy, if you will. A cup of coffee a day for 40 years is $1.2 million invested in the S&P 500. A cup of coffee a day. You know what? That just isn't hard. But people don't believe that. They don't believe that. Isn't that crazy? $150 a month, a cup of coffee a day. Just putting the S&P 500, not Microsoft's IPO, is $1.24 million. Who can't do that? Everyone can. But they aren't doing it because they're not taught to. They're not taught that this is the greatest time ever on the planet. They're taught the world is ending. I digress. NEFE.org. NEFE.org. I haven't been all through the website, but it is extensive. It's good. It's built for high school kids. NEFE.org. They've got all kinds of stuff on there. And you can go into their financial planning program, which talks about compound interest and all the amazing things. May not be the most spellbinding thing to do, but certainly with some encouragement and some of the tools they have, you can get your teenager's attention for a few minutes at a time. And maybe, just maybe, they'll learn something. Because you know what? They're not learning it out there anywhere else, are they? They really aren't. Okay, so one more time. It's NEFE.org. And if you missed it, you're driving down the road or what have you, you think about it later and you just really want to get that, you can certainly shoot us an email. We'll be happy to do it. And that, once again, is at PetsoFinancial.com. Now, live for the program today, it's Dave at PetsoFinancial.com. All right, so let's go ahead and go to the phones. Tom, thank you for calling. Go ahead, please.
Hey, Dave. Long time no talk.
Glad you called back. Thank you.
Thanks, man. Hey, I wanted to suggest something. I got politically active about 15 years ago. One of the things that I've been really kind of most ignorant about, and I only say this as a benefit to other people, not to expose my weakness necessarily, but you know, financial stuff is like you were talking about, is something that we're not really taught about. The only thing that we're really taught about is, you know, socialism versus capitalism. And with the political 2020 elections coming up and the move for free stuff, I couldn't help but wonder if appealing to the audience on going through the intricacies of socialism might be able to help people understand more how to invest. I think if I can tell you this from my own understanding, is that investing is just something that we've been taught is for rich people.
Mm-hmm.
I loved your analogy about the cup of coffee.
Mm-hmm.
And I think in baby steps, as we have to do in a lot of things, I think is absolutely crucial in getting people to understand exactly how you can invest. I never knew how to do it. I had acquired money and did not know what to do with it. I got involved politically. I started seeing, the fraud of the Federal Reserve and the fiat currency and some of those things. And what it did, Dave, was it freaked me out so bad that I pulled out anything I had in the market. I'm going for hard currency.
Mm-hmm.
And I've got no way to be able to,
retire,
to increase. Yeah, I don't. And, you know, when they say the founders gave their lives, their fortunes, and their sacred honors, man, I'm living that, brother.
Yeah.
So we're talking a lot about socialism and helping people understand the history of it, what it actually means, why taxes go up, why property taxes go up. Because, you know, kids, they want socialism, but they want to be able to buy homes.
Yeah.
And it's the most amazing thing because they can't see the inconsistency in their own worldview because they're not even taught to critically think that way. So I don't know if anything I said made any sense. There was a point I was going to try to make, but clearly I'm a lot more well-studied in other issues, and finance is definitely not one of them. I read Henry Hazlitt's book, Economics in One Lesson, and to be honest, man, that was not an easy read for me, but it was highly recommended by anybody that I know that's trying to understand the basics of economics.
Well, I got to say, a title like that just frightens me. It frightens me to sleep. I can't. I don't know how I could get through that. That would be horrifying. Tom, there's a lot of good stuff out there. But and really, there's an awful lot of good stuff on the internet now, right? Because like this, NEFE.org. That's great. That is really awesome that the financial planning organization's doing that. And set that up. And I just think this that's the kind of thing we need, but we need more of. But the other thing is we've got to have people, parents, grandparents, helping push kids to that, because that's not interesting to them. It's not interesting at all. It's much more titillating to find out that your favorite Hollywood actor is being divorced and going to remarry one of your favorite starlets. I mean, it's just it's weird. It's so weird.
Well,
I was taught in a day and age that was called gossip, and it was flat a sin. So these are hard things for old guys like me.
Well, I think if I could relate it to one more thing, it was like when I studied history. You know, when I was taught history, there were a bunch of old white haired dudes. You know, it was an old document. What the guy was talking about before, Jim, I think. About Columbus in 1492, mm-hmm. You know, who really cares? You know, unless it's required within the context of relating to something else, sailing the ocean blue in 1492 doesn't do anything. What was the intent and how does it affect me? If somebody would have told me, this is how finances will affect your life, all of a sudden it becomes personal, right? We know that people do not act until they're personally involved in something or something personal happens to them. When you can relate something financially to them and why it's important to them or why freedom is important to them, all of a sudden you've got this continuity from thousands of years or hundreds of years of research saying, wow, now I really understand why this is important. And mm-hmm. when I started realizing how important, you know, my finances were to me and how numbers actually mean things, and it's not just guesstimations, it made a whole world of difference to me. So I guess we just have to find a way to be able to appeal to people so they can realize how it sort of personally affects them.
Well, and I think you bring up a lot.
Thanks for having me on.
Oh, you got it, Tom. Thanks for the call. And I just want to close this because we got to run to a break anyway. But this is back to really how we started today with Albert Einstein's quote, education is not the learning of facts, but the training of the mind to think. And what unfortunately happens if we don't stop and think is that we can collect facts, but those facts often are just not correct. They can even teach people about currency like you were talking about earlier. So I just wanted to kind of circle back to that. And what you end up with is holding a whole lot of gold. And instead of having, if you will, a couple million dollars earning stuff for you. Why? Because you were scared into this by data points. Maybe even factual things, but without the context to think it over. For example, that's why I think it's important, any put your head right now, we put it in the context of, it's never been better. Now, .. Okay? Now, what facts do we have within that context? And the relation I would give to that is that Columbus sailed, like, and you gave a lot of really good points. To me, it would be to come to life as like, can you imagine standing there knowing that as soon as you disappeared on the horizon that you were dead? Why would people do that? That's absolutely crazy. What drives human beings to that kind of adventure? To just like the astronauts, to strap their rear end and go up into space, the unknown. What in the world do people do that? To me, that brings history to life and that kind of thing. And when we're thinking about it in a context of, instead of fear, you can teach me about this fiat currency. You can teach me that this might be a pending problem, but I don't hide in fear. I don't run to gold. I don't run to an equity index annuity seminar because I'm trying to figure out why the world is coming to an end. Because all that's going to do is going to teach you more, give you more facts about why the world is ending, and bury that money so it can't make money. That's where I'm getting at with this edge thinking. We got to think more, right? Not just operate in fear. Tom, thank you. And we have to take a quick break. Our number is 580-5436, 580-KIDO. Final break this hour. Give us a call. Our lines are available. We'll be right back. Hello, welcome, and thank you for joining us. 580-5436, that's our number, 580-KIDO. I've sure appreciated all the calls we've had. And Tom, thanks for calling back. It's probably, like you said, it's been a few years. I appreciate the conversation, and I'd appreciate, if you have a question, just fire away. Just give us a call. Love to talk with you. And one more time, I want to give that website, nefe.org. Great place for kids and adults, come on, let's admit it, we don't know enough about finance. I'll bet you haven't just gone, can you believe what happens at only 8%, which is quite a bit less than what the market's done for our entire lives, how money compounds. How one cup of coffee a day for 40 years, just in the S&P 500. And I know what I just said, the S&P 500, a lot of people, I don't know what that is. I've heard that. But what is that? The S&P 500, roughly speaking, is the 500 biggest companies, United States only. Okay? And they change them every 6 months or so. You know, just because they might move around in size. Some are delisted because, guess what? What it really is saying is it's the good, the bad, and the ugly. It's the companies that go bye-bye. WorldCom, Enron, nearly Apple Computer the first time around. Multiple. I mean, all the computer companies, right? The early ones all went away. Great ideas. So meaning all the capital that you would have invested through your S&P 500, poof, gone. I mean, gone. Gone. And it also includes the Microsofts, the Googles, and second go around, if you will, the Apples of the world. The great corporations of America, and it's not the greatest measurement at all. But over time, it's just about the same as the really broad indices that you've never heard of, Wilshire and all that stuff. Cup of coffee a day for 40 years is over $1.2 million. And what kind of management did you have to do? Did you have to show up at, you know, like, and clean the rental? No. None of that. It's not hard. Automatically taken out of your bank account. And then you're rich. This isn't hard. We just have to think about it. Make it happen, and don't let all the fear of the world pound down on you. Come have dinner with us over at Ruth Chris Steakhouse, and we're going to get you sucked into the fear vortex. And you can't get out. It's over. Only a 12 or 15 year surrender charge to get out of this equity indexed annuity. It's a great deal. And nobody. No Goldman Sachs, no registered investment advisory firm, no certified financial planner will let you buy one of those horrible things. But don't worry. If somebody drops all of their licenses, then, and so that they're not subject to the laws of the land, then you can get one. You see, when we don't think, we actually don't think, then we're subject to those possibilities. We really are. Because we want to believe. You see, your grandmother, who never got through the ninth grade, already knows you can't have market returns without risk. But that's not what you're told. And to your grandmother, that would be enough. This person doesn't make sense. I have common sense. I don't want to buy. Done. Because your grandmother didn't just have rote facts. She was taught to think. She taught herself to think. We got to think. I thought he was such a nice person. Yeah, nice person. Real flippin' nice. Now, I want to shift here real quick. This is amazing. I mean, the world's going to talk about the China deal. We don't need to, unless you got... I mean, we can. I'm happy to talk about it, but I don't want to sit here and regurgitate facts. I want to think with you. Let's think. But think the same thing we're talking about with the trade facts. If we want to learn to think, you got to think. You don't sit there and watch a parade of... They're not analysts. They're parrots. They just parrot each other.
Polly wants a cracker. Trade is wars are bad. Trade war.
This goes on and on. As if you're getting some data. How about this for a real point of fact? I'm not saying trade wars are good. That's not the point. But let's not be parrots. Let's think this through. Leading up to this week, how are we doing? Just generally. How's the economy of the United States? In the midst of wars everywhere you look, Donald Trump's out of control. We can't get along with Canada. We can't get along with Mexico. We can't get along with Japan. Anybody, everybody hates us. Europe hates us. Oh, my gosh. Best economy in the world. We got a trade deal with Canada, Mexico, Japan. Now, if you watch the news, then you know that the China deal is really what it's all about. It's not about getting along with everybody else, except that China is now like the fourth largest trading partner, by the way. I just named the top three. No, but that's not really important. Yeah, that's kind of really important. But here's the bottom line data point. You ready? 16% growth over 2016. What was 2016 and why is that important? Final Jeopardy question is? Because we didn't have a trade war then. That was before Donald Trump just blew up the world. So no trade war. Now we've got trade wars everywhere, and this is so dangerous and deadly and all that stuff, right? Why is the economy doing okay? Because trade is up 16%. That's what we call thinking. Because the rest of it is leading you down the wrong path. Isn't the learning of facts? Trade war is bad. Trade war is bad. Bop, trade war. Trade war. No God. Whoop, 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 whoop. I mean, it's just insane. It won't stop. And nobody goes, well, Polly, isn't it true that trade is up 16%? Isn't it true that things have never been better in the United States of America? What? Trade war. Trade war. Bad, bad, bad. Trade war. Whoop. I mean, this is just incredible, but nobody deals with it. That's what I would call thinking. Let's think. Think. And now maybe we have a deal. I don't know what the next thing is that we're going to be parroting. Let me think. I don't know. I'm not sure. But we'll come up with something. We are the left-wing media. We'll come up with it. Trust me. We'll get it. We'll get it right. All right, let's go to Lyle. Lyle, rescue me. Thank you for calling.
Hey, Dave. I don't often call because I'm working, but early on in my career, I wish you would have been around 30 years ago. Early on in my career, I put into the company 401k. It had a bad year, like back in the mid-80s.
Yep.
And millions of dollars transferred out of the stock fund into the bond fund, which had made like, it had earned 2 or 3% the previous year, and the stock fund had lost like 8 or 9%. Millions of dollars transferred into the bond fund. And in 3 months, and I was stupid. I didn't know any better. I stayed in the stock fund. In the first 3 months of the next year, the stock fund was up 17%.
Yes, sir. You know what that was? It has to be 87, the market crash of 87, October 19th.
That could be. Yeah, I was early on. I knew I had years to go. I looked at my wife and said, everybody who cashed out of the stock fund locked in those. The same happened in 2008. My fund was down 35% in 2008. And a friend of mine said, I can't take it. I'm transferring everything I got left into the bond fund. And in 2009, the stock fund was back up 25%.
I know.
So he locked in 35%. I was back, you know, I was down 10%, but since 2009, I've made it up plus. So I love your buy and hold, you know, stick with the market. My 20-year-old son, I
All
told
right.
him your cup of coffee and
I love
get
it,
on
Lyle.
Board.
I'm sorry. I know you're the best. Thank you, sir. We got to take a break for hour two. All right. Thank you, sir. Hello, welcome, and thank you for joining us. I'm Dave Pezzo, and these are my opinions and my opinions only. They're not this radio station, really anybody else's. So just if we're talking about a stock or something, we mentioned a bunch of them. Apple and all those, and yes, I like Apple, blah, blah, blah. Absolutely no reason for you to own it. And we're not here to tell you what to buy or sell. That is frankly stupid. It's not entertaining. It's just off the rails stupid. It's not educational in any way, shape, or form. It's anti-educational in every way, shape, and form. Because that's what people think they need to do, is to buy and sell ticker symbols. Do you know the average person doesn't even know that when you buy stock, you buy a piece of a business, a legal piece of the business? They didn't know that a mutual fund is owning a group of carefully selected businesses that you own. And therefore, you get a share of the profits. So when we talk about income from it, it's not because you get income by selling the stocks. You get income from the dividends, pieces of profits. Not all companies pay dividends. Before you worry about that and get confused, it doesn't matter. But that's what we talk about. We talk about the greatest story never told. The 70-fold increases in income from a soap company, Procter & Gamble, since 1970 alone. Now, that's not, don't go buy Procter & Gamble, but understand that that's the story there. Not, I didn't say anything about their stock price. I just told you your income went up 70-fold since 1970. Now, let me think of other things that would fit in the category of 70-fold increases. I don't know, 50-fold increases. Well, maybe like the best apartment complex on Malibu Beach. No. Like on the strip in Las Vegas, a condo. No. New York City? No. San Francisco? No. Nothing. And you don't manage it. You don't do anything. The only thing that comes close to it is what? That's right. It would be like a Johnson & Johnson. Merck. Other great U.S. businesses that pay dividends. That's the income story. And for some reason, the noise out there. Again, education is not the learning of facts, but the training of the mind to think. So you have facts about the market. It did this, why today, trade stuff, blah, 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 blah. Again, I ask this simple question last hour. If trade is everything and we're all going to die, how is it that the trade war, it's so bad. The trade wars that have started under Donald Trump's leadership. How is it that trade overall in the United States is up 16% since 2016? Why do I use 2016? Because Trump was not present to have a trade war. How are we up 16% if trade wars are bad? I'm not saying trade wars are good. I'm just saying, make you think that that is not what you hear. Is it 10 times a day? Is it 50 times a day? Is it 100 times a day? That's what you hear. Trade war, bad, 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 bad. It depends. Actually, if you only hear it 10 times a day, then you're appropriately restricting the amount of time you sit in front of the TV and have them tell you how the world is ending. In other words, you have a happier, more content, and a clearer thought process than most. We got to think, because the world is not wanting you to think at all. At all. How is it if we're in the midst of and we're about to have a recession any day now, I swear. It's a late inning economy. It's whatever. It's the tax cut sugar high that we were living through, because it really doesn't help to have tax cuts and lower regulation. That really is not true. Just don't really pay attention to the numbers. How is it, in fact, that we have the lowest black unemployment rate in all of history? How is it that we have the lowest Hispanic unemployment rate in all of history? And female unemployment in all of history? And I hesitate to mention it because I know they're kind of sort of the enemy of the planet overall, and including white guys. It's the lowest in 50 years. But trade wars are killing us. They're just killing us. And the economy is about to go into recession. We got to think, not just react, not just regurgitate facts. Isn't it the silliest thing you've ever heard? I mean, can you imagine how many times I'm asked about, yeah, but the market's going to tank because we're going to have a recession, right? Based on what? A simple regurgitation of the daily I hate Trump media facts. That's it. Because there isn't any evidence of it. Every time we have an employment number that dips, the very next one revises it higher, and it is a screaming good one. In fact, I mean, when you dig deeper in the report, it just gets even better. I mean, really, workers who are 25 years old and older that don't even have a high school degree. I mean, come on. These are people that are relegated to the trailer park. Not the good trailer park, the one that sits by itself out there in the middle of nowhere. I'm not sure if they have water. That's the one. Right? I mean, really, seriously. Through all of history, that's it. You know where their unemployment rate is now? It's below 5%. In other words, those most disenfranchised in our society are rocking it like they never have before. That's the point. That's not data mining. That's the point of actually thinking. Not just grabbing a, hey, here's the facts. Well, unemployment was, 136,000 people. That's not even, but but wages didn't increase very much. What do you think about that, Bob? Yeah, I'm really worried and concerned about the lack of wage increases across the specter here. I am very, very concerned about that. I think we're in the late innings of this expansion. Thank you, Bob. Thank you for parroting exactly what you've said for the last 3 years. Good job, Bob. You don't want to change your tune at all now, do you? No. No, sir. Mm-mm. Unbelievable. This is our highly paid economic spokespeople. This is why we have to think. That's why we have to think. Look, I'm not saying trade wars are good. I'm not saying the world is perfect. But what I want to do is I want to wake up every day and go, you know what? It's never been better. And when it's not better, we'll say it's not better. It's not better. It's not as good as it was last year. We need to work on some things. But it's never been better. Now let's start our day. I can think more clearly. Not getting up, kind of grumpy. I'm getting of an age that maybe I'm a little bit stiff. Gotta go down. I gotta get my stretches in. Fortunately, I've got a beautiful lady that is just kind of sort of wakes up happy. But you got to take a pause and recognize before you start clicking on endless streams of negative data that it affects us. It's never been better. I started the last hour with this. It's never been better. Never been better. But on the AAII survey, which has come out every week for, I don't know, 50 years, forever. 20%, 21% are bullish. 40% are bearish. These kind of readings are depression times. What do you think happens to people that when it's never been better, period, they believe that it's going to be bad? That is simply a flow of unstoppable, relentless fire hose type drinking from a fire hose of data, of negative data. It's the only explanation I have. I don't know. I don't think we woke up one day and went, I know, I just need to feel like crap and look at the world in a crappy way and assume everything's going to be bad. No, it's been a slow erosion in the education system, a slow teaching that the world is going to end. And that actually started back when we were kids, when we were told that the pollution in the world would be orange by 1970. Really? And the world's cleaner with, I don't know, what, 2 billion, 3 billion more people than when I was a kid? It's a lot more billions of people living more abundantly, I might add. Technology keeps getting better and figuring it out. And I just don't know why we have to keep teaching people coming out of school that they're going to die, that they are the enemy of the planet, not the blessing of the planet, not a game changer that's going to invent something, create something to enable the world to continue to be abundant. Amazing. But we don't. We don't. And we think our facts, or our thinking, is coming from negative facts. It's tough. It's tough. I think it's important that we think about that and share that data. It's never been better on the employment front. The world has never been cleaner. That's a fact. The world's never been safer. Does it feel that way when you watch somebody die somewhere in the world of 7.5 billion people, a violent death, over and over and over and over and over for 24 hours? And then we got to go run and find one more or 10 more. You don't feel that way. You just don't feel that way. I understand. But it doesn't make it right. Our number is 580-5436, 580-KIDO. This is our final segment, actually live today. Kevin and I are going to, we're playing the recording from Monday, which I think we did a pretty good job, Kevin. Kevin's on the board today. I think we did a good job on Monday, so I think you'll enjoy it. And as I run out of here on fire trying to make the tea time, we'll be right back. Hello, welcome, and thank you for joining us. 580-5436 is our number, 580-KIDO. Hey, I know operator error here. This is probably Bob calling back. I hope so. I hung up on him. I didn't mean to do that. But, you know, that's the problem. You let non-professionals handle sophisticated equipment like a telephone, and then bam, that's what you get. All right, let's go to Bob. I see it's Bob. There you go. Sorry about that, Bob.
Good morning.
Good morning.
There are a few categories of mutual funds that seem to have similar goals, objectives. Could you explain how you would use, and the differences of an income fund, growth in income, equity income, dividend growth? How would you go about using those portfolio?
Great, great question. And also ETFs would fall in the same bucket, right? Okay.
Yeah.
You got to be careful with income funds. Now, typically, they're just bonds. I prefer the income funds that will also focus on high dividend paying stocks like utilities when it's appropriate and move around and not just be a bond allocation. That's my preference. I don't mind income funds when you're, but let me say this, what you're trying to do there is I'm in a high income position, right? I am now trying to move to a where I need this piece, not maybe the whole portfolio. I would hope not, because we do need some growth of that income too, where I need to have that income, right? Or I'm very near retirement, or I'm coming near a time. Let me get rid of that retirement thought first, okay? I'm very near needing a chunk of money. I'll circle back to the income or the retirement in a minute. I am needing to have that money available. So I want lower risk. Maybe not no risk. Maybe I'm willing to assume a tiny bit of risk, but I need very low risk because I'm going to take that money, buy a car, boat, cabin, whatever it is. Okay. Education for kids. So I'm taking a low risk profile. As we move up the scale, we're saying I want growth of income, dividend growth, and you're structuring those, and you can almost look at them from an income perspective. How much dividend am I getting for income currently will also dictate lack of growth later, right? Am I really focusing, am I looking at a growth of income fund, which might be even less than 2% if you're focusing on the high dividend increasers? You might be looking at a high dividend payer in the 2.5% to 3% range, a Procter & Gamble type story, okay? They're not growing fast at all, and their dividends aren't growing fast, but over the years, they've had an increase in dividend, be it slow, in the last few years, and you don't have an expectation of it growing very quickly. So you would look at the consumer goods, Kellogg's, those type of brand names. They're not growing fast, but if you want to throw them in a category, I'll tell you one of them is Apple. That's a growth of income story. Now, you might think it's a technology company. You might think it's a growth company. It's the biggest company in the world. But if you also focus on it, where would you find it in that portfolio? You're going to find it in a growth of income story. Okay? Did I help you with understanding? You're looking at how fast a growth. So when would you use it? Let me put it in this other sense. You would also want to put it in a portfolio. You're going to be wanting to march that in your portfolio when you are getting near retirement. You're going to want to have a growth of income story. And in retirement, that's what you want too, to keep up or surpass inflation and live off of those dividends mostly, not your principal. So we do want to shift a portfolio more towards income bias as we near retirement. But what many people make this huge mistake doing is that they move their portfolio and go, okay, I'm going to put it in a target 2020 fund because that's when I'm going to retire, 2025. Okay, I'm going to retire then. And then you find out that most of your portfolio is in bonds because all they're trying to do is not lose money between now and 2025. You might think, well, that's a laudable goal. But what are you doing to fight inflation? Nothing. You're losing the battle. So we do have to be careful. We want growth of income, not to worry about the price. We want to worry about income increasing all the days of our life. That's what we should be focused on. It's hard to do because we can turn around every day, push that button on the computer, push that button. And that button tells us what? An absolutely pointless net worth statement. That's all. This is what you get if you sell today. And then do what with the money? Then do what? Instead of focusing on income. So our eyes are naturally focused in the wrong place. It's hard to do, but we want to focus on that income. Do you have a follow-up question on that?
All right. No, that's excellent.
Okay.
All right. Appreciate
Thank
it.
You.
Thank you.
Bob, thanks for your call. I appreciate it. Have a good day. There, I operated the telephone. Yeah, I know. High-fiving in there is Kevin Miller. Thank you, sir. Thank you. Thank you. 35 years on radio. We got it. I know how to hang up on the caller. Pretty good. All right. Hey, I'm sorry we didn't get our phone caller on. Apparently somebody called to tell me how wrong I was about the economy. So I'm not sure what the facts are regarding that. I'm not sure why the economy is bad, why they feel that way. But that's what I mean by thinking. So I guess thanks for making my point. Thanks for making my point of how bad the economy is with no data. I don't know what to say. Based on what? The employment rate? How fast wages at the lowest end are working out? I don't know. But I think it exactly smacks of what we're talking about. Just plain old raw data delivered doesn't help us make decisions at all. All right, I got to get out of here. I hope you enjoy Kevin Miller and I from last Monday, and I hope you enjoy this wonderful weekend. Good to have some nice weather, and go Broncos.